Welcome to The Hidden Agenda, a podcast brought to you by Changing Relations. I'm Primrose, a student at Durham University and an intern at Changing Relations, and I'm joined on the podcast today by Polly Turner and Lisa Davis, the directors of Changing Relations, to introduce our new project, Who Wears the Trousers, to you. We're also going to be talking about the use of gendered language in everyday conversations and the impact this can have on individuals and society. Thank you both so much for joining me today. Lisa, as the director of Changing Relations, could you tell us a bit about what it sort of stands for, its values, and some of the projects that you've been doing up until now?
Yeah, absolutely. So Changing Relations is an arts education company, and everything that we do is about getting people thinking about gender stereotypes and relationship behaviours. So a big area of work for us has been to do with domestic abuse, and we've had a number of projects that have covered different aspects on that theme. We have a live project currently on that theme, which is called The Child's View, and which has been working with a group of young people from across Gateshead and County Durham to explore experience of living with domestic abuse in their homes, living with neglect, living with difficult parental relationships. And that's going to result in the production of an illustrated book and an animation that are about both helping young people who might be affected to recognize that there are other people that might have been through the same thing, which can be a really helpful thing for somebody to begin to deal with and process something difficult that they've experienced. But it will also be something that we would use with educators and other professionals to give them a tool to support young people who are affected. So that's one of our areas that we work on. But we also work on the area of gender norms, roles, stereotypes, gender equality. And this project that we're working on now, Who Wears the Trousers, actually is a development of a previous project called Stepping Out of the Box, which was an art exhibition that included visual art, a variety of different forms of visual art, and also some poetry content. And that was all about exploring ideas of gender identity, aspirations related to gender stereotypes. It touched on themes such as well-being and the extent to which that might be something that's affected by gender. So we're generally using different types of art forms to get people thinking about the issues that we're interested in people thinking about.
Great, thank you so much. It's been really great working with Changing Relations over the last few months or so. It's definitely the most collaborative sort of workspace that I've ever been part of. And I've learned so much already. Polly, for the previous project, you made a piece that sort of brought up ideas of gendered language, particularly sort of focused towards men and sort of what that pertains to. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so as Lisa's introduced, we've done various projects over the years, and I work as a lead artist and creative producer for the company, as well as co-directing the company with Lisa. So the Man Up banner that you're referring to was originally produced back in 2017 on the Men's Voices project. So Lisa spoke about some of our early work introducing themes of domestic abuse, which came about as a project with women. As a kind of secondary project to do that, we explored a project which began with the question, what does it mean to be a man? And worked with men and boys across the Northeast, exploring the positive and negative stereotypes that surround their understanding of masculinity. What emerged was a fragmented world full of mixed messages with observations of cruelty and kindness as participants explored their life stories, and particularly with the Man Up banner. It uses language, words like the phrase man up, provider, alpha, strength and loyalty. It's both confronting and confessional. It takes inspiration from the iconic Durham Miners banners, which can be seen on the streets every year, and it shares a collective voice from men and women during the preliminary Men's Voices project, which came just before Stepping Out of the Box, which kind of upholds these destructive masculine stereotypes, putting a pressure on the men to be a provider, stoic and strong, and to not show weakness. The term man up, it's in the dictionary as a phrasal verb, which is about fulfilling your responsibilities as a man, which kind of suggests that you need to take control, put your feelings aside, act against your own wishes for the benefit of others. And it's used as a shaming term. It's used a lot, but to be told to man up suggests that you're not good enough, that you're showing weakness, and can often kind of be related to, you know, if you're not man enough, then you're like a girl, which must be worse than a man.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm sure we've all been told, like, oh, you throw like a girl, you do this like a girl. And sometimes it's like, yes, because I am a girl.
In the project, we explored these words with a group of young people. In the early stage of the project, we're Stepping Out of the Box. We worked with lots of schools and young people, kind of exploring different ideas around stereotypes, around kind of role models, around language that we hear, around kind of influences from the media. And yeah, like a girl was coined as the kind of variant of the girl's version of man up. It was somehow this kind of shaming term, this kind of an insult that you either had to kind of man up, because that was the kind of aspiration, or you referred to as being like a girl, which sort of suggests this idea that in society we still believe that men are those who are in power, men are those most in control, and that is who should be looked up to. But it creates a lot of barriers for both men and women. Men's mental health, men's rates of suicide, men's rates of committing violent crime, leaving school early without education. It doesn't suggest that to put this pressure on men is helping them in any way. And it's certainly not helping us work towards a kind of an equal society, which is what we really want at Change in Relations.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It's words that, you know, we think a lot of words that put women down, such as bossy, which yeah. I'm sure triggers us all.
My shoulders flinched. You can't see that in a podcast.
Just a definition of bossy, let me just read it out to you, is an assertive woman or young girl who enjoys telling people what to do. And to me, I would interpret that as a woman acting like a man, so acting like she's, you know, is in charge of a situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there are lots of words that we use in general society without thinking too much about them, and part of why we exist as a company is about helping people to notice things that they might just say without thinking, and might not think what are the implications of that and how might that impact somebody else. So, you know, sometimes you get people saying, oh, you know, what, why are you making such a fuss about that? Because they perhaps haven't thought about, well, actually, if that term is used, how is that for the person on the receiving end, who might be a different category of person to you? So it may not be a big deal to you. You may think, well, why is that something to fuss about? But for the person who is receiving that, it might put them down. It might make them feel as if they are not good enough, or as if they are not conforming in a way that society deems they ought to conform, when, you know, really in the 21st century do we need to be conforming to old-fashioned stereotypes, or can we not just be who we are with whatever set of qualities we might have, irrespective of our gender or our sex?
I think that goes into where we are with our project at the moment, Who Wears the Trousers, is that we discovered through these projects that there was very much still an idea of an archetypal feminine stereotype and masculine stereotype, what it was to be a man and what it was to be a woman, which gave no boundaries, no opportunity to be in between, to not identify with either of those sexes, or particularly these attitudes towards what was seen as acceptable and unacceptable gendered behaviour, that kind of to be bossy versus be a boss, to be like a girl versus to be like a man, kind of all of this language that kind of was building a picture even to a very, you know, a young and emerging generation who are growing up in a society with lots of different opportunities, still believing that they couldn't achieve something because of their sex, that they couldn't aspire to be a leader, or that they were never going to earn as much money, or that they couldn't want to be a stay-at-home parent as a man because of their sex, which just leads us to be a place where we want to explore where these attitudes are coming from and stemming from, and what a better future might look like if we try and break down some of these barriers.
Yeah, so it's really interesting that every year Girl Guiding produces a report that is based on a survey of girls' attitudes. And in the year when our Stepping Out of the Box exhibition was touring around various venues in County Durham, which was 2019, we picked up on the report that year from Girl Guiding, and it was really shocking to see that the levels of girls, you know, and young women aspiring to leadership roles, whether that's in business or politics, was going down. And you would have thought, you know, there can be a general assumption of progression. And that was really worrying as a backward step. And you think, well, why would that be the case? Theoretically, we have gender equality. You know, many people say, what are you making a fuss about? We've got gender equality. Why are you trying to suggest there's an issue? Women can do what they want. But when you see things like that, it makes you ask, well, can they? Are there some things that are stopping them that we're not noticing? And, you know, could it be to do with things like the kind of cultural environment that's around women who might take on leadership roles? And, you know, we know that there are student leaders at Durham University, for example, who feel like their leadership is more called into question as a woman than if they were a man. And some girls and women might feel able to withstand that kind of thing. But some people might feel, I don't want to have to receive that kind of flack, which to some extent is fair enough. Like, who wants to be faced with flack for doing what it is that they want to do when it's something that isn't hurting somebody else, you know? I think it's really important.
Yeah, it's these words like bossy that we use to describe sort of young women who are already showing like good leadership qualities, and the word bossy puts them down and discourages them from acting like a leader, which I think is almost ironic, because statistically men interrupt more frequently in conversations. So even if a woman speaks less frequently, say in a meeting, they're perceived as speaking more just because of these sort of stigmatizing expectations that women shouldn't speak up as much as a man. So coming back to the title of the project, Who Wears the Trousers, I sort of interpreted this as a term to describe a woman in a relationship or implying that the woman has power over, or is sort of, again, more bossy over a man in the relationship, which by wearing the trousers, it implies that she's behaving more like a man in that relationship, and maybe which, guys' friends might use to sort of put them down, saying that they're, maybe they need to man up. how did you sort of interpret who wears the trousers?
Yeah, so I actually was looking back at the Man Up banner earlier today and realised that I'd used one of the phrases to describe a man, or a man's role was, wears the trousers. And I guess the idea for this new project and using that title is it's a word that is still very commonly heard. It's a phrase that I certainly hear as someone in my mid-30s. It's often referred to in a relationship context, whether that's a heterosexual or a gay relationship, you know, which one of you wears the trousers, insinuating that, you say, which one of you is in charge? But that very idea of wearing trousers still implies that we're talking about the traditional idea of a man, and that there should be somebody in a relationship, and whether that's a romantic relationship or whether that's in a work context or, you know, a partnership. Lisa and I, we work together. If someone was to say, which one of you wears the trousers, it still suggests that there is this power imbalance, that there has to be somebody who is in power and in control and an unequal relationship, which just isn't a good place to be. And that's part of what we want to kind of challenge, whether it's workplace or relationship, people still viewing that somebody has to have more power, and still having a subconscious idea that that person should be the man. You know, you often hear it in lesbian relationships, you know, which one of you is the man? Well, neither. We're talking about two women, and this is really not language that we should be using in today's society. It's still, you know, it's unhelpful, it's derogatory, it's negative. And it's not, as I said earlier, it's not helping men or women by kind of harbouring on about these traditional roles of what each gender should do.
And I think as well, when we're thinking about the idea of leadership, we've talked a lot about ideas of control and power, and I think it's really interesting for us to stop for a moment and think, is that actually what leadership is, or is that just our stereotype, our old-fashioned stereotype based on, you know, quite patriarchal ideas? Because actually there are a range of different ways to lead, and I noticed that you said at the very start, Primrose, that you'd found it a really collaborative workplace, working on a project with Changing Relations, which, you know, makes me really happy, because that is the way that we seek to work. You know, we produce participatory art projects. We like to work in a collaborative way where we're trying to form a consensus with the group. We're not trying to work in a way where one person forces their ideas on everybody else. And, you know, if we're sort of stuck in a certain idea of what leadership is, we might not recognize that as being leadership, or we might not see where any leadership is within that. But yet you can still, in that mode of working, have somebody who's energy and motivation is moving things forward, or, you know, who is drawing together all the ideas of the different people and saying, right, so it sounds like this is what we've agreed. You know, that's still leadership, but it's not necessarily bossy. You know, so there's so many different things really for us to unpick when we start thinking about gender roles and leadership and how those things come together.
Thank you so much, both of you, for both of those points. One sort of final question, or maybe not a final question, a sort of to be continued. So what are sort of the next steps that we can take, to either that you're taking or advice that you can give, to start challenging these use of gendered language in their everyday conversations?
So one thing that I do personally as a parent, I have two sons, and it has always been apparent since they were very small that they're completely different. And I hear a lot from other people, sometimes parents, sometimes not, these stereotypical assumptions of like, oh, boys are like this, girls are like that. It sort of seems to get thrown at you more when you become a parent somehow. And so I personally, one of the things that I tend to do is I tend to say, well, I mean, actually, one of my sons is like that, but one of my sons really isn't. And so I don't think it is necessarily the case that boys are one way, girls another way. So, you know, it's just taking those small instances to highlight real world examples of our stereotypes not necessarily being true to reality. You know, they may fit some people, so there will be some girls who fit a sort of female stereotype and vice versa, but that does not mean that everybody does, and therefore that the stereotype is appropriate as the kind of defining factor. So I mean, that's just one like real life example that I do as a parent. I don't know about you, Polly.
Yeah, I think there's things we do on an individual level, very much so, probably because it's where our company objectives come from. Is that, you know, I have a daughter. I have aimed in the early stages to not dress her in traditional ideas of feminine pink clothing and challenge kind of other parents. But I think, you know, as an organisation, and what we're trying to do with this project is to keep projects. Keep projects happening and keep responding. You know, we're a social enterprise. Keep projects happening that are starting a conversation. You know, we're still in the stages of research. Who Wears the Trousers is hopefully going to be working with students exploring ideas of leadership in relation to gender roles, and seeing where that project goes further forward. We also, you know, work as an organisation, Lisa said, to kind of develop education and training tools, working with schools, working with businesses and organisations, working with them to explore what their kind of policies are around gender and workplace attitudes about kind of challenging workplace uniforms, workplace expectations, thinking about recruitment. You know, who are they assuming is going to take charge of the Christmas party? Who do they rely on to send round the birthday card and collect the money? Kind of all of these little things which just haven't really moved on. Lots of controversy about expectations that women in some jobs are still expected to wear skirts or high-heeled shoes. But not just from the female perspective. It's always about drawing it back to, what does this mean for men? What does this mean for those who are non-binary? What does this mean for those people who have struggled with their identity, struggled with their assigned gender, struggled with their sex? You know, we need to be more inclusive to a society that is moving forward, that doesn't just create these two boxes of masculine, feminine, right, wrong, kind of good, bad, boss, understudy. So yeah, we're moving forward in just creating these projects, being really excited to keep generating this work with people and keep the conversation going.
Thank you both so much for joining me today. There's been some great food for thought about how we can start to recognise gender language in our daily lives and start to challenge it so that we can start treating people with kindness. I hope you enjoyed listening to the first episode of the Hidden Agenda podcast. For more information about Changing Relations and their amazing work, follow them on Instagram at Changing Relations, on Facebook and on the web at www.changingrelations.co.uk.